All right. Well, let's see. Announcements. So, announcements, we've got Thursday, tomorrow morning. Got a group going out in Kennedy for public ministry, 10:30. Then Friday, 4:30, another group going out in Kennedy. So public ministry, Thursday, 10:30, Friday, 4:30. And then the nursing home is starting. Do what? Different one, yep. Hacienda Oaks, right down the street here. We will start nursing home ministry there at 2 o'clock Sunday. And we'll go outside. So you can't touch any of the, you have to stay 6 feet apart. We have to stay 6 feet apart from them. All right. We won't be able to touch or shake hands or anything. We'll be outside. And yeah, it'll be tough to play games and stuff like that, unless we can figure out some games that are 6 feet apart. We will bring like the puzzles and stuff, and we'll see whatever they want to do with them. That, you know, the nursing home can have them, all that. And they didn't give me a number today on how many people, since it's going to be outside. So just if you want to volunteer, if you have any musical ability, show up, because that's what this is really, it's a lot of singing. I'll bring the guitar. Yeah, we may play some piano music. I'll bring the guitar. So there'll be a lot of music going on. So if you have any musical ability, show up. And even if you don't, show up. But it's nice that we'll start at 2 o'clock Sunday, and then we'll see what they let us do going forward. Maybe every Sunday. We'll just see what happens from it. So that's nice. That's opened up. And a reminder, I know it's a little ways off, but we'll have a special evangelistic service the Sunday before Christmas, which is December 20th. We'll have a service in the morning, 11 o'clock, and it'll be evangelistic, and Children's Church will be a big part of that. And so if you want your children involved in that, you got to be at the Sunday, the Children's Church practices in December, the two Sundays before the play or the I don't know what you call it, the program. You got to be in Children's Church those two Sundays. So Josh and Amanda and Michelle can give you a part, give the kids a part. So that's going on. Be ready for that. And once again, there's still the October finances there if you would like to look at them, just the P&L there. So those are the announcements. All right, Colossians. We're in Colossians. We only got a couple more lessons in Colossians, and then we'll move on to some other book. So I thought about doing since it's Wednesday, and I don't know if it would be too much to do like a little complicated book on a Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe one of those Old Testament, maybe like Song of Solomon or something. Maybe that'd get everybody in here on Wednesday. I don't know. But we'll move on to something else after we get through Colossians. I probably got two more after this, and then we'll be done with it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, and just a real quick verse. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. So that's the thought this evening, redeeming the time, walking in wisdom and redeeming the time. Let's pray, and then we will We'll get started with this. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I pray you'd encourage everybody that's here coming off of work and choosing to spend their time here. I pray that they'd get fed. Pray you'd give everybody what they need. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for those that are watching. I pray those that are watching would get what they need. And Lord, you'd help us tonight. And I thank you for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, redeeming the time. That's the thought. And the opposite of redeeming the time would be wasting time. And so I'll show you a couple of things. The Bible calls that idleness, just idleness. I'm going to read a couple of quotes here. These were interesting. I've had these written down for a long time, and they just seem appropriate for what we're about to talk about here. This is Steve Jobs. Y'all probably remember Steve Jobs. He started Apple with Steve Wozniak and died a billionaire. This is what he said about life and his life. He said, "In others' eyes, my life is the essence of success. But aside from work, I have little joy. And in the end, wealth is just a fact of life to which I am accustomed. At this moment, lying on the bed, sick, and remembering all my life, I realize that all my recognition and wealth that I have is meaningless in the face of imminent death. You can hire someone to drive a car for you, make money for you, but you cannot rent someone to carry the disease for you. One can find material things, but there is one thing that cannot be found when it is lost: life." He says this also. He said, "Treat yourself well, cherish others. As we get older, we are smarter and we slowly realize that the watch is worth $30 or $300, both of which show the same time. Whether we carry a purse worth $30 or $300, the amount of money in the wallets are the same. Whether we drive a car worth $150,000 or a car worth $30,000, the road and distance are the same. We reach the same destination. If the house we live in is 300 square meters or 3,000 square meters, the loneliness is the same." That's a billionaire. This is a guy that had everything you want and everything I want. One more thing he says. "Your true inner happiness does not come from the material things of this world. Whether you're flying first class or economy class, if the plane crashes, you crash with it." Wow. Pretty profound stuff. People get on their deathbeds and they start thinking about things. So the subject this evening is redeeming the time. So a few things in the Bible, just real quick, about the opposite of redeeming time, and then we'll get with what actually redeeming the time is. The opposite of redeeming the time would be wasting time. And we have got so many time-saving devices. We spend more time saving time than we with time-saving devices than we do doing anything, you know? And it seems like we're just saving time so we can spend time figuring out how to save more time. And the Bible calls wasting time, just calls it idleness. It's God's way of saying people have wasted their time. And idleness is one of those seductive evils in the world. It's like a car that sits idle. It's just burning fuel. But it's not doing anything. But it's burning energy. It's just not doing anything. Now, idleness, before you get too over spiritual about this thing, and maybe you're not going to go in that direction anyway, but I'll just say it. Taking a break is okay. Taking a break from work. God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. So preaching the gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never taking a break, or doing ministry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or it's biblical to take a break. That's not idleness. God doesn't classify that as idleness. And just because people take breaks and take vacations, that doesn't mean they're being idle. It's okay to do that. God did that. He spent 6 days working, and 7th day he rested. Jesus Christ went away and he took a break from folks oftentimes. Now that said, most of us aren't going to fall into that category anyway. We're not going to over-spiritual, you know, be over-spiritual about the thing. But there are some guys in the ministry that are that. And if you're not preaching the gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then you're wasting time. But that's not true. That's not true at all. You can do that and then you can take a break. That's okay. Most of us don't fall into that category. The category we fall into is idleness. I'll give you a couple verses on idleness. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15, here's a couple things about idleness. Proverbs 19:15, the Bible says this. Proverbs 19:15. The Bible says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." That is laziness. That is the New Testament version of that is if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. That's the New Testament version of that. This is idleness. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I'll just read a couple more of these to you. Here's another thing about idleness. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, "By much slothfulness," and slothfulness is laziness. I don't know if you've ever seen a sloth move, but they don't move. Those things don't move. I think he said that it grew mold on itself or something because it was so slow. "By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through." So that's somebody just laying around, and car's falling apart, the house is falling apart, and then they complain the house is falling apart, or car's falling apart, and they're not taking care of any of the stuff. They're just idle. They're just wasting time away. Another one, this one really pertains to Americans. This is what happened in Sodom. In Ezekiel, the Bible says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness." Just sitting around doing nothing, and pretty soon, you know, sin has overtaken the whole place. And he says, this is the problem: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. The opposite of idleness, now here's a positive one in Proverbs 31 woman. The Bible says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." So she didn't get her food by stealing from taxpayers, from the government or whatever. She got her food because she worked for it. She got food for her family because she worked for it. Her family's eating because she is working, or her husband's working in Proverbs 31 too, but you get the idea. This isn't idleness. This isn't just laying around collecting the government check. This is somebody who's working. So the Bible says a Christian's life is not composed of idleness. It's composed of time being redeemed. The opposite. It's not a waste of time. God saves a soul and then leaves that soul here until you die, not to be idle, but to work while it's day, like he says. You got light. Just like over in Proverbs, the opposite of that was the idle soul is just slothful and just sleeps all the time. Just lays around and sleeps, and it's noon and they're still asleep, and they just, all that kind of stuff. And so they just sleep all the time. But a Christian's not like that. A Christian is a redeeming time. There's a redemption of the time. So let's look at the positive side of this now. You understand the negative is just wasting time, But you weren't saved to waste time. And I'm not saved to waste time. You're saved to redeem time. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. There's a little bit more explanation on this. Paul gives a little more information here. Ephesians chapter 5. Redeeming the time is the purposeful use of time to God's glory. And when the Lord saves a soul, you're not saved by good works, but you are saved for the purpose of good works. That's why people are saved. They're saved for the purpose of good works, and not just good works in this life. We're talking about good works forever. Just good works, just good. Doing good things, being good. Now, you're not saved by that, but you're saved for that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Here's a little more explanation of the redeeming the time phrase. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest." There you go. Quit wasting time. "Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So the point is, somebody who's saved, you got an idea, you understand what God's will is, now time to get to it. You got saved, it's time to fulfill the purpose to which God saved you. Just a couple notes on this. When he says walk circumspectly, that's, you know what that is, that's a circumference, that's around. And he talks about the days being evil, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's the circumspect thing, it's almost like you're watching for the dangers, so that, because everything in this world is set up to, the world is generally set up, one of the things it's set up for is to seduce you as a Christian to sleep, to just passive and sort of, you know, lay around and spiritually just lay around and kind of that kind of thing. And so you look for those things around you, and he says, because the days are evil. It's just, if you're going to, as we said it, I mean, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to be saved and act saved, then there's going to be opposition to that. And so the walking circumspectly means you're looking out for opposition to the good works that you're supposed to be doing, because there's always a hindrance to it. Like Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. Every time I find something good to do or try to do good, I just hit something evil, you know, and it's in me, it's in the world. But it's like you're looking for the evil things, so that because those things are going to try to hinder you or seduce you from the purpose that God's got for you. And I mean, like, you set up security cameras so you can watch either valuable things or watch where people traffic so you can keep an eye on that kind of thing. Just like setting up security cameras, that whole walking circumspect type of thing. But before you think that Christianity is just about looking out for evil, Christianity is not about looking out for evil. Christianity is about doing good things. You're not saved by doing good things, but I'll show you several verses. The purpose of your salvation is to do good things, is to serve God doing good. And there are so many hindrances to that. That is why he says walk circumspectly. But sometimes people get the idea that Christianity is just about looking for evil and just trying to protect yourself from evil, and that's not it. You know, when Walmart puts up security cameras, the purpose of Walmart is not the security camera. The purpose of Walmart is to sell items. It's a retail store. Security cameras are just there to help promote what they're doing or help keep them in business. I mean, to protect from thieves and things like that. When people set up security cameras, the purpose is not to have security cameras. The purpose is to run your business, and the security cameras are there just to watch for evil. Same way with Christianity. When he says walk circumspectly, the point of Christianity is not to walk circumspectly and look for every single evil you can find. The point is to do good, what you're supposed to be doing, but keep an eye out for the evil that's out there that's going to try to hinder all that. So back to this what he said in Ephesians, he says, see, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So don't get entangled with stuff you shouldn't get entangled with. And then he says, redeeming the time. So don't waste time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Why would you redeem the time? Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right, well, let's see what the will of the Lord is. We talked about doing good things. Let's see a few verses about good works and the will of the Lord. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. I'll give you a few of these. I think you understand you're not saved by doing good things. But you are saved for the purpose of doing good things. Maybe some Christians would think that's a little bit too close to saying, well, you're saved by doing good things. No, that's not the point. But you're saved in order to do good things, and not just do good things in this brief life, but to do good things forever. I mean, in eternity, you're going to be doing good things. That's the idea. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 13, look at this one. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, what? Good for nothing. It's no good. But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here it is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what? Good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, before you start chopping this verse up and saying, well, that's... he's just talking to Jews here. Before you go there with it, this is Jesus Christ making a statement about his people. Yeah, to the Jew first. Yeah, do good. You've been enlightened to do the right thing. You've been enlightened to do it. But let's see if that's not true throughout the whole New Testament. I mean, I don't think he would just tell the Jews and Israel, hey, do good. Christians, nah, you don't have to do any good. Gentiles, nah, don't worry about it. Oh, this will be a consistent message. You'll see it. So the point is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Christianity is not a defensive position. It's not a security camera position. It's not a, we're just looking for evil so we can spot the evil and we can tell everybody how evil everything is. Christianity is an offensive position where you do something so that other people watch you do something and they give glory to God the Father. It's offensive. The defensive part of it is just so you can do more offense, I guess you could say. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. You say, well, good works, he's just talking to Jews. Okay, well, let's see if he's just talking to Jews or not. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, this is Ephesians. Is this to you and me? Are we going to be okay when we read this? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now this is to the Ephesian church here. Same thing he said in Matthew chapter 5 to the disciples and those that are listening there. He says, look, you're the light of the world. This is your purpose. This is what I've created you for. You do good works, and people will see that, and they'll glorify God the Father in heaven. And then he says in Ephesians, for ye are his work, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, here's the purpose, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why do I keep bringing up good works? Because good works is the redeeming of the time. This is the redemption of time. Before, we're just caught in sin and we're caught in wasting time. We don't serve God. We don't know how to serve God. We don't understand the will of God. But you get saved, you get in the Bible, you get some light on your life, and you start understanding the will of God. And he says, look, redeem the time now. You know what to do with your life now. Or you ought to know what to do with your life. Redeem the time. Here's another one. Redeeming the time, good works redeems the time. The point is, you're his workmanship if you're in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is how you redeem the time. Now, I can't identify all of the good works. I'll show you a general place where they're at in just a second. But just so you get the idea of what he means by redeeming the time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That one in 1 Timothy. It helps when you're in the right book. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So here's what your Bible is for. This is why you and I have one. Why God's been gracious enough to give us one. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto what? All good works. That is the purpose of Scripture. So when Jesus Christ shows up in Matthew and tells the disciples, look, you're the light of the world, they have the Scriptures. They've had the Scriptures for 1,000 years. And he says, you're the light of the world. I've given you revelation. So you bring that revelation to the Gentiles and you bring that revelation out to other nations and other people. And they see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. What are the good works? Well, some of them are laid out in Matthew chapter 5. Love your neighbor as yourself, things like that and all that. There's all kinds of good works. There's all kinds of things. You don't revenge yourself. You stay in your lane, so to speak. In Titus, he'll say several things about that. But in 2 Timothy, he gives all of that information about Scripture. And then he says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So you're not lacking anything. You're fully capable of, with this Bible in your hand, fully capable of redeeming time. Fully capable of it. Here's another one. Titus, look in Titus. By the way, Titus is a great book on this subject of good works and what all that means and how it's applied in a person's life. And good works, I know you may think, well, that means preaching the gospel all the time. Good works means being a good husband. Good works means being a good wife. Good works means several things. It has all kinds of application. God created all of these relationships. God created all of this. Like he said, he created all things to be freely enjoyed. Look, Titus chapter, I'll just give you a couple of these. 1 verse 16. He says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So he's talking about sound doctrine. He's talking about obviously people who have a profession of faith, but the whole purpose of faith is to redeem the time and do good works. And that would glorify Jesus Christ, glorify the Father, God the Father. And he says, well, they have this, they profess that they know God. Everyone does. And you go out, you talk to people, and everybody knows God. I mean, everybody's a Christian. I mean, that's getting less and less lately. I mean, in our culture, everybody used to be a Christian. Now it's more like you're getting people more and more honest about their relationship or lack thereof with God. They'll say, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. That's getting more and more. So here's people, though, that they profess God, but there's no, it's just words. It doesn't have any value. But notice the phrase good work there. They're reprobate to good work. Look in chapter 2, verse 7. He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So that's all part of good works. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. That's part of good works. And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, that's stealing, but showing all good fidelity or lying, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Look in verse 14, or 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. There you go. That's the point. That's the whole point. There's a couple other ones, but you get the idea. Titus is a great book about just describing good work, what it is, what it means. And he's not describing that you get saved by good works, but he's just describing, look, this is what sound doctrine means, which, by the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Independent Baptists have a bad hang-up with thinking doctrine is just intellectual information. Doctrine in the Bible is never just intellectual information. Doctrine is behavior. Doctrine is the way a person behaves himself. It's like the policies or the doctrines, the beliefs a person has. We have a real good way of separating, and I don't know where this came from or why it even happened, but separating doctrine from living life. But every time doctrine shows up in the Bible, and every time sound doctrine shows up in the Bible, it always shows up as a behavior. It doesn't show up as an idea or just a how to rightly divide or something. It doesn't show up as an idea. It shows up as behavior in life. What you read in Titus here, he's describing a person's behavior. When he says things like, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, watch, verse 7, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That's doctrine. That's a person's rules that they live by. That's how a person operates and conducts their business. Versus a person in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, who professes God, but there's no doctrine associated. I mean, it's just a profession. It doesn't mean anything. It has no value in their life. So here's redeeming the time is the way it's done is fulfilling these good works and living out the good works that God's ordained you and I to walk in Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Peter. I'll give you two more here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, or they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So here's, obviously, Peter's talking to somebody who's not a Gentile, because he's saying your good works among the Gentiles. Now, he's talking to, it could be a church member, because you got saved, you're not considered necessarily a Gentile anymore. Now you're a part of the church of God. So the point is, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So this is it's a way of magnifying God to the world. These things called good works here. One more place. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. This is how a person redeems the time. Hebrews 13, verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." What a great, just a great description of really a Christian life. This is what God is doing in Jesus Christ, in his people. It says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight," and all that. So, again, you saw it in Ephesians, you see it in Hebrews, you see it in Peter, you see it in Timothy, you see all this. It's the same message. The point is, people, God's people don't walk in darkness anymore, or they shouldn't. You understand the will of God. So now you have an opportunity to stop wasting time and start redeeming time. And start redeeming time by living out the things that you have been revealed in the words of God about relationships, about husbands, wives, children, about employer, employee, about gifts of the Spirit, about how to conduct your business, how to conduct your life. You understand these things because they're written down for you. And so how do you redeem the time? You just apply the things that God's given you light on. And you make those applications and you redeem the time, and you don't waste time, and you try to walk circumspectly, because understanding the world is one of the evils of the world is it's just trying to seduce you to sleep so that you'll find yourself before long just wasting time. And you just waste your life away and you wonder where it all went. And that's obviously not the purpose God saved you for. He didn't save you. You're not saved by good works, but you're certainly saved for good works. That's certainly the purpose that God saved you for. So there's redeeming the time. That's how it's done. Just a note one more time. Titus is a great book. It's a short book, but if you want to read some descriptions and examples of things that are described as good work, Titus is a great book, because that's what it's really about. That's a lot of the things it's about. So we're not going to read the book. I'll just pass that along to you. You can read it. It's simple. So there you go. There's some redeeming the time. The value is you got the light now. Now walk in the light. Don't fall asleep. Walk in the light. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. And I pray that you would help us with these things that we know to do. Lord, that you would help us walk in the light that you've given us. Help us as a church, as a congregation, walk in the light that you've given us. And I thank you for the opportunities you're opening up. I pray you continue to open up more opportunities so that we'd be able to make Jesus Christ known in more places. And